T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy, Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
Does that make it easier for you to perform?
I think it makes it, I don't think it has any deciding factor if I do bad or good. You know, baseball is up and downs. You have hot streaks, you have cold streaks. It's like everything, you know, it's got to be able to control yourself, control your emotions and everything like that. And just have a solid approach and go out there and compete. That's really it. You're going to win some and you're going to lose some.
All right, there you go. Mookie's replacement, Alex Verdugo. Good night for Verdugo. Good night for Jalen Brown. Cam Newton, I thought, had a pretty good Zoom call. It's just a Zoom call, but I thought it was good. So you got some positive things going on in Boston sports.
Yeah, your Bruins didn't stink the place up. That was great.
Yep, didn't play, but hey. They now, it was bizarre NHL seedings. The 11 and 12 seeds in the Western Conference advance, and the 12 seed Montreal advances in the East. So
it is, I don't understand that.
It's as random as you could expect the NHL to be.
I think a lot of, like, we all understand the play in and the seeding that they're doing in the NBA, and I think it's going to lead to, especially in the Western Conference, a wild finish to this 8-game run up, as well as an incredible play in game, because 8 plays 9, and if 9 wins the first game, then they have to win a second game to be able to take the 8th spot. But if the 8th team just wins one game, they're in, and you could end up with like two really fun teams like Portland and Phoenix playing. Like, that makes sense, and that's awesome. And I love watching those teams play. That's been one of the highlights of the live sports return. I do not understand this hockey tournament at all.
Well, they tried to make it, I guess, as appealing to as many fan bases as possible, but the Blackhawks had almost zero chance of making it into the playoffs if they had done it properly, and they end up, you know, just getting hot. I don't know, Taves is good all of a sudden, and boom, Connor McDavid's out, Crosby's out, so the Bruins have a great chance. We'll talk maybe a little more Bruins later in the hour, and Celtics too. A lot of Patriots in hour one. It is Jared Stidham's birthday. I'm alerted to that because Daniel Murr, our colleague on the morning show, sends me an Instagram feed. From, is this Stidham's dog?
No, it's not feed. That's what she was on our Greg Hill Show text thread. She sends the picture that she screen capped from his wife, Kennedy Stidham's stories. And Danielle's line was, this is such an insult. Her line is, for his birthday, Jarrett gets a story birthday wish, but not a feed post. Bush League.
I'm
with her. If my wife only gave me a birthday wish in stories, which means it's up for 24 hours, and I don't get like something in the feed, which is permanent.
Oh, it's a one-day event.
Ah, kick rocks.
That makes sense.
Hey, just because your dad has all that Houston Rockets money and I'm trying to compete with Cam Newton to get a starting job on the Patriots. Come on, lady. Can I at least get one thing in the feed? Oh, but later she'll probably post a picture of an awesome sofa that she's considering getting for the new Foxborough house.
Did you hear any of Stidham's Zoom call yesterday? His debut, quote-unquote, Zoom call?
It was Rudy Tooty, fresh and fruity. Old cheery Stid.
Everybody
he told the biggest lie. Yeah, but he especially was very... Yeah, they all were. Cam was cheery. Hoister, or Ahoy Hoy, or Hoisin Sauce, or whatever you're going to call him. He was cheery. But Stidham told the biggest lie. You think that Jeff Howe and other people are carrying Belichick's water, and they're spinning the media for the benefit of the Patriots and telling boldface, you know, Helvetica 12 font lies. I think the biggest lie in all of New England yesterday was when Stidham answered the question about what was his reaction when he found out. Nick, I'm not sure if you... Do you have that, Stidham's reaction
he's,
to...
He's digging for it as we speak here. Okay. I can see him in there.
I can see him.
You see the top of the head of a producer, you know they're digging. There it is. You got it.
Okay, is he got it?
No, I think I've approached this offseason kind of the same from, you know, January up until, you know, right now, as I'm sitting here talking to you guys. You know, I do feel a lot more confident, you know, having a year under my belt, a year in the system, just kind of being more of a professional in general and kind of, you know, understanding how we do things here within the organization. You know, just I've approached, you know, the offseason that way the entire time. And that's, you know, my big thing is I just want to continue to, you know, be a leader on this team and be the best teammate that I can be to the guys in the locker room.
It is interesting to me where they go with Stidham this year. Like, yes. As you and I both agree, there's no competition. Mm-hmm. And I both agree the only reason the Patriots would want to manufacture one through Ordway and through Jeff Howe is to light a fire under that guy, Stidham.
Right, to make sure that Jared. He doesn't fall asleep or, like...
Or we don't fall asleep listening to him.
Yeah, we don't fall asleep listening to him, or that he doesn't throw a fit and go to take his ball and go home because he was promised the starting job or at least thought it was his. And who knows, Hoyer must be just beside himself. I mean, he could be apoplectic. He was told he could compete for the starting job. If he starts week one, by the way, I quit. But, you know, Stidham, you know, you have to keep him up and ready because, like I said earlier, if Cam stinks, if Cam were to get sick because it's the pandemic, if Cam leaves, you better have something ready beyond, you know, four interceptions on a playoff Saturday Hoyer, the hoister.
But what would you trade Stidham for? Let's say Newton is really good.
A thing of big league chew.
Really? I mean,
no, I'm kidding. No, and you could easily just say like, "Whoa, hold on, Fitzy. 2 months ago, you were all Liddy for Stiddy. You were going to win him with
totally
Stidham.
Were.
I know. I still think the kid could
last
be good.
Week. You were Liddy for Brian Lewerke, so that doesn't say anything. But
all
ahead.
The herky jerky for Brian Lewerke. Yeah, yeah. Come on, don't. I will take. There will be no Brian Lewerke slander on this program.
I know he's back. It's beautiful.
I'm excited about Stidham's future, sure, but I'm more excited about the fact that Cam Newton brings limitless possibilities or unlimited possibilities to the Patriots offense.
If he's good, why wouldn't they extend him like halfway through the year? I know some teams don't do that with quarterbacks or with anybody, but couldn't you see a contract extension with Cam like 3 weeks in?
And then Brady would, and the best part is Brady would probably just go be somewhere and just be like, "Damn it, what did I have to do to get Bill? Couldn't show me this kind of love." Well, Cam is also 12 years younger.
Yeah, they wouldn't give him $25 million a year. I can't see that.
No. And by the way, I heard and read a few things in the past 2 weeks. Like, well, now that Cam Newton has switched from whatever diet he was on before to a vegan diet, it looks like he's slimmed down a bit. I don't know if his body's going to be able to handle the rigors of quarterbacking with his particular style of play in the NFL. Anyone who knows that when you switch away from whatever kind of diet, he talked about it yesterday, you know, having hashtag healthy snacks and not having meat, and it eases the stress on a lot of joints and inflammation. If anything, you're going to see like a revitalized Cam. I think it's way to his benefit the fact that he's gone vegan as opposed to, you know, just Chick-fil-A and drive-thru and Oreos and everything else that makes life worth living.
Well, but that aside, if Newton's good and they get through a tough early part of the schedule and he looks the part.
Lock him up.
Then lock him up. You could do a sort of a team-friendly deal because obviously there's great benefit to Cam to get some money now. He just doesn't have much guaranteed at all. You know, whatever, $5 million if he plays the season. But I'm sure he would be very amenable to a $10 million bonus or something like that and, you know, just a 2 or 3 year contract.
I think you would need more up front than just $10 million.
Okay,
well, I think at that point he'd say, "Yeah, we're not hometown discounting anymore. I took the $1 million up front and the $7.5 million possible deal to prove myself. Now I'm proving myself. Now you guys got to pay." And it would be in the Patriots' interest too, because A, we still don't know what we have in Stidham, and B, pandemic. Like you said, there could be who knows. I mean, yeah, there are some good free agents next year, Ken. But what the college ranks are going to be like if we find out that college football is canceled and these kids haven't played in God knows how long, the best thing you could do is take the sure bet in front of you as opposed to, you know, rolling the dice and running the risk.
And if that's the case, then Stidham's useless other than a backup, because then, you know, for his whole entry-level contract, you're not going to play Stidham unless injury. And you got Hoyer, who's a decent backup in the league, maybe.
They would get a 6th round draft pick for if they tried to trade Stidham now. They'd get a fifth.
No, you'd get more than that. Are you kidding?
How?
You just talked about him for months as he was going to be the franchise.
But what have I seen? He was the best practice player we've ever seen, better than Garoppolo was when he was around here. Okay, yeah, great.
Now you're going to get a live arm.
I know. Live arm, arm talent, finished for Brady last year.
Well, he does. There's potential there. You get more than a six-round pick. If that's all you get, then forget it.
Maybe you'll get the equity you invested in him.
I mean,
there is absolutely. I know that was the first call we took today earlier from Brock in hour number one.
I like that theory.
There is no way in the world, Belichick. We're not talking about. I'm not moving on from Garoppolo, and I wouldn't take four first round picks. We're not talking about that kind
of. Traded Garoppolo. Offense. He also traded what's his name to Indianapolis, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, he's done it before to get winning players on a team that they feel could contend now, which they obviously do. That's why they got Newton. And the division's there for the taking. If you need a receiver, do you need David Njoku or something like that?
No, they had Jordan Leggett in for a workout, former Jet and Tampa Bay tight end. Maybe they think that's like untapped potential right there. But I know Nick is actually working on some audio. Nick, do you have that? Do you have that other clip? Is he giving you the thumbs up in the studio?
He's giving you the middle fingers. What he's giving you? Yes, you got it.
Fantastic.
What audio is this?
This is some fresh audio. Mojo Drew joined Brian Baldinger on the NFL Network to talk up a player that he got a firsthand look at because he worked with him way back in high school and thinks is going to be a great fit on the Patriots.
I personally think that when you look at the New England Patriots now, that offense they have, and you look at what Cam Newton had in Carolina, obviously tight ends, right? Threw it to Greg Olsen, different type of receivers. Julian Edelman, that guy that can work in the slot, can kind of play that McCaffrey role along with James White. But the key is, it is the tight end. And that's the one thing that we fair to realize, that the New England Patriots drafted two tight ends in the draft. I want to talk about one guy specifically, though, and it's a guy that I actually had an opportunity to coach in high school. I was part of a 7-on-7 organization called KT Prep. This was one of our first players we had, Devin Asiasi. Not only did I coach him in 7-on-7, then I got a chance to coach him at the great De La Salle High School. A tremendous blocker. That's what people don't know. He's a great run blocker. And we know the New England Patriots want to do that. But then he runs routes like a wide receiver. And you see the speed here at 6'5", 260-plus pounds. He can run and do everything you want. Don't be surprised to see Cam Newton really key in on him and get that that chemistry that you need to have a tight end, to have a year like he had with Greg Olsen and other guys. Yes, it's a shameless plug, but it's one of my babies, Baldy, right? It's a beautiful thing when your baby grows up and becomes an adult and plays for the New England Patriots.
Oh, man, that must have been Wiggy. That was...
No, somewhere Wiggy is smiling because Wiggy went out on a limb and said Devin Asiasi was going to catch 80 passes.
80
this year.
Passes.
I know, but now wait a second.
Now, he's a good run blocker. This guy's getting more hype than Stidham did.
Than Stidham is. I know. What does Jeff Howe think about him?
whatever the Belichicks think is what Jeff thinks.
Exactly. So now we're getting Asiasi hype. So you got people like Tommy Curran who said, "Do not expect diddly squat out of the tight end position this year."
And he's right.
And you think he's right.
It's just, I mean, just the history of the rookie tight ends in the league. I mean, just look around. Nope. Okay, run blocking, maybe. Maybe they'll get a decent run blocker out of number one. That's the best you can hope.
All right, last year, a good one to put, like last year, you got nothing out of the Hawk in Detroit, mostly because he got hurt. And, of course, the quarterback play once Stafford got hurt was garbage city. Mm-hmm. You didn't get much out of Noah Fant, although they're hyping him up big time. A lot of buzz around him for year two in Denver. You didn't get anything from Jay Sternberg or none of the last year's tight ends. Really
Irv Smith, when he had his rookie year.
Irv Smith, he was okay at times for Minnesota, but they're expecting now as they ease Justin Jefferson in to the number two receiver role to replace Diggs that they're going to go to more two tight end sets. So you'll see Irv Smith get more action this year. But back in 2010... halfway through the season, Gronk and Hernandez found their way into the offense, and that definitely led to the Patriots.
Ago.
Yeah, it was okay.
That's probably the best like rookie season by a tight end ever. I don't know.
I'll take it. It was 10 touchdowns. Yeah, it was. And then of course they were both completely not to be heard from in that awful loss to the Jets in the playoffs at home. But maybe we'll actually see if we see significant contributions from the tight end position, specifically Asiasi this year. Does that change your opinion on the offense and or the team's outlook?
Oh, totally. That would be. I mean, that's exactly what they need. I think Drew is right. It's the key to everything. To the point where if they would trade for a tight end, it makes total sense.
So would you go out there and trade for a tight end, or do you think you think that sadly, like many other players who are just matriculating their way into the league, that the growth of Asiasi, as good as he could be, is stunted by the pandemic and the fact that they have this unusual offseason.
That's why the Lacoste opt-out was tragic. huge, gigantic. That's why I told you this early in the week.
You couldn't even make it through the take.
All right, trending, and then your buddy Jake in Boston is waiting to unload again. So perhaps you'd like to get him on the other side.
Can I go pour a drink while you trend?
Let's trend.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
Man, I can't talk over the national anthem. What do you want me to do here, Dick?
You have to. No, you let it ride.
I mean, it's not that long. I guess we should have. No, I just did talk over it. It is Laird and Fitzy. Before we get to
Eruption
Jake in Boston.
So good.
Oh, the best.
I think it's tough to argue that that's not the greatest debut rock album, right? Over Boston, over Aerosmith. Ooh. Like Van Halen. Van Halen 1, it's their best album, and B, it's got to be the best debut rock album.
I think The Doors, self-titled album, was that their first? It was pretty much hit from start to finish. I don't know. That would take a deeper dive into the classic rock archives, but it's up there for consideration to be
sure. I'm here for it anytime.
Also here for the Mike Giardi media spat going on Twitter.
Ooh.
I'll fill you in on that coming up here in a moment, but just rip the Band-Aid off. Take Jake in Boston. And
it's 30, remember, 30 seconds.
30
he's
seconds?
He's got to land a joke or have a good point before he just goes off on one of his screeds. So.
All right, Jake.
Hello, Jake.
Hey, Ken Lard, are you kidding me over there?
Who?
Because Jeff Howe might know something you don't know because he's around the team every day. Like, guys, did you know that the Belichicks, Jen and Steven, have been babysitting that little beta dog that Jared Stidham now owns? Or do you know any, I mean, you talked about the Instagram photos, right? That Kennedy decided to post and not giving her husband a post, giving him stories.
Mm-hmm.
If you go look through that feed, is there a single photo in which Kennedy Stidham makes her husband look like an alpha male versus someone who, you know, like when your mom posts a photo and she's trying to smudge something off your face and your kid's got that goofy grin, but it's so awkward, Mom. That's what Jared Stidham looks like in every photo that Kennedy Stidham posts of her husband.
Yeah, but
second, what a pathetic performance by the Boston media yesterday. If you aren't going to ask Jared,
totally agree.
If you aren't going to ask Jared and Bill, would
that's enough. I mean, come on, Jake. How about just people? We don't. Not only do you and I not need it, like people that are listening and having a perfectly good time.
Jake could be good. He just needs to. He needs to stay within the rails a little bit. A little bit.
Right. It was just like if it's okay. Like it's okay. Like people know Albert from Rhode Island usually calls in angry and just tears everyone apart. Like calling him Angry Jake. Jake in Boston. We know he's going to be angry. We know he's going to have something against Steve Belichick.
It just gets too personal with
members
of the organization.
It sounds like he worked a cabana once that the Stidhams or the Belichicks or both were in out in Nantucket, and they stiffed him on the tip, and he's forever held a grudge.
It's like a further off the rails Curtis, if that's possible. I mean, it's
wow, whoa.
But
by the way,
I would agree with on one point.
Real quick, I do have to send one quick message: a shout out to my man Floyd, who's the starter at the Green Harbor Golf Course. I promised him I would do this yesterday in beautiful Marsh Vegas, Marshfield, Massachusetts, who approached me yesterday as I went golfing with a couple of buddies,
mm-hmm.
Ken, and he said, Nick, you do me a favor. Can you just tell Curtis to pipe down a little bit in the mornings? I was like, Floyd, you know what? You got it, my man. So shout out to Floyd at Green Harbor as well. But,
it's a stutter that Curtis is not well-liked in Marshfield. That is very surprising.
Anyway, as you were saying,
well, Jake had one good point before he went off the rails, and that was the media was embarrassing during the Belichick press conference. It was sad. There was nary a good question asked. I mean, well, Volan asked him about did Belichick ever consider opting out,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of interesting. He mm-hmm. wasn't going to answer that or say yes. But I do think, you know, that had some merit. But every question was about COVID preparedness, and Belichick just filibustered on Zoom call for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
No questions about the kids and who's calling plays. No questions about Trump and whether he's going to support him. No question about really Cam Newton
Isn't
and the
early
starting
for
quarterbacks.
The Trump stuff.
No,
Ken?
Are you kidding? We're like within 90 days of the election.
First of all, it's hilarious. You think the election's going to happen, and and B, now that the post office is being torn apart, you know, to completely subverting anyone's confidence that mail-in ballots will be valid. I don't even see how the election's going to happen. I mean, you got people taking the nomination remotely, and who knows where and how they're going to conduct the debates.
It'll happen. It might take 3 months to unpack who won, but
he said years. The president said it's going to take years.
He'll do his best.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the Giardi spat going on in regards to college football. Danny Cannell, who used to be, he's with CBS Sports now and Sirius XM. I'm not sure, was he an ESPN guy before that?
I believe so, yeah. The old Florida State quarterback, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're all reacting, college football guys, to the what looks like today the death knell for Power 5 football, right? Wouldn't you say? It's, I mean, based on the reports, several, it's anonymous sources, but the Big Ten has already pumped the brakes on going to phase three of football with pads. They're having a presidential meeting today. There were reports from Pat Forty and also Brett McMurphy. Sources saying Power Five, it's done. Fall sports are going to be postponed, if not canceled outright. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Cannell says, "Know a lot of college football writers have been accused of rooting against the season. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but some absolutely want to be able to say, 'I told you so,' because they've been only peddling the worst headlines. Sadly, it might cost us the season." To which Giardi says, this guy thinks this statement is actually logical. And then they get into a spat back and forth over whether the media is to blame for college football getting postponed or canceled.
No.
Now, do you believe that in any sense? Because that's the spin now from Clay Travis and from Danny Cannell, that the media wants it to fail. They're rooting for it to fail, and they only report on the bad stories. Cannell says nobody has been reporting on the programs that had zero tests or were excelling in their environments. Is this a way sports should be covered?
Okay. Remember about a week and a half ago, Good Morning Football's Kyle Brandt got dragged into a little bit of a Twitter clapback session with people because it was about a week and a half ago, because he tweeted out something along the lines of being frustrated by what he perceived to be a number of writers and NFL media people hoping the season would fail, that it wouldn't happen. So, and he got creamed. I mean, everybody came after him. All of our local writers, the Badads, and then a lot of other people on the national scene. And I thought that was, I can see how you might think that there's a couple of writers, that there are a couple of old, you know, wrinkled pants, sour pusses who just, you know, whose breath smells like hot dogs, coffee, and newsprint. And, you know, they would be saying like, there'd be a portion of that audience that would be told you so. But I don't think anyone wants the NFL season to fail. And I sure as hell don't believe that anyone wants to see the college football season fail.
No.
Now, there's a little panic porn maybe sometimes, and like, oh, no, Clemson, 37 cases are not, you know, outbreak at Alabama.
But it's like Cannell saying the local news should film the house that's not burning and do a story on that as opposed to the house that's in flames.
That's not how it works, Danny.
That is not how it works.
No.
It's not the story. It's not what people consume. It's not what people want to know about. And really, the thing that's going to kill college football is the threat of the lawsuit, because otherwise they would probably push through.
Correct.
Although I do think the fans and the money that they could generate in the spring is a legitimate argument. But for a while, it seemed like they were going to just go for the TV money and take what they could get short term.
I know. My father-in-law, who's the biggest Michigan fan I know, just sent me something this morning getting all fired up because Jim Harbaugh, you know, said something about Ryan Day at Ohio State and Paul Feinbaum was in Harbaugh's court and we had some good preseason trash talking going on. And I'm thinking like, okay, here we go. October 24th can't come soon enough. That's Michigan, Ohio State. And now here we are like 2 hours later, like, yeah, don't bother getting fired up. I still think there's a way they can make it happen. I mean, Ken, these programs could be potentially devastated by the cancellation of the season. Now, if it's only a postponement, And they play in the spring?
They will try for the spring. Come on. I mean,
they have to.
They obviously will.
I think they could just start in March.
If they start in March, what's wrong with that? You get March. How long is the college football season? It's usually September through November, right?
End of August to Thanksgiving, and then bowls.
And even you could even trim that down and, you know, not have Alabama play whatever A&T or the three teams they stomp 70-0. I mean, who cares?
You get rid of those non-conference games. You go back to your plan of having a conference-only schedule. You just make it a 10-game season, and then you just do playoffs.
So April and May, and then, you know, June playoffs.
Yeah, and then you know what?
And the draft pushed back to when? July or something like that?
Probably June. I mean, like, right. Maybe you just do the draft, like, right after the bowl circuit and things. Yeah.
Just report right away. And boom, you're on your way to next season.
And then
season.
You don't worry about like a draft in April and then doodling around for 6 weeks. Like, you just get right to it.
All right, I've got some hot Bruins thoughts that I've got to get in because this season's about to take off. This is a big Bruins week. And Celtics. We should talk a little Bruins and Celtics.
We
have a short segment at the end of the hour.
Okay.
So I'm going to get a little hockey and C's talk in, if that's all right with you.
I'm here for it.
I mean, Curtis doesn't want me to. He says, don't talk about the Bruins. Nobody cares. But people care about
the
Bruins.
Are they not one of the four major sports teams? Are they not the one that just a few weeks back everyone said had the best chance of winning a title in Boston? Are they not the team that even yourself, even a loon like you, said had the best chance of taking over as the top team over the Patriots if they win and the Pats falter this fall?
A mini Saturday skate, 5-minute version, coming up next on Laird and Fitzy.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
You know, I think if you want to make a run in the playoffs, you got to beat every team anyways. So, you know, the situation is what it is. And I think the worst thing that's going to happen is we're going to lose the locker room and our practice rink. So that's about it. I really don't care where we finish. I think we just have to focus on our game and try to improve that coming Sunday and then going to next week. But, you know, yeah, you're going to beat anybody anyway.
That quote from Cooper Rask there, of course, from Laird and Fitzy, got a lot of, like, backlash for some reason. Yeah. I really don't understand it.
He should have gotten some blowback, some brushback.
He should have? Why?
Yes.
He's absolutely right. It doesn't matter. I mean,
well, then why are they even playing? If it doesn't matter, why play?
They're just tune-up games. I mean, every team could take this however seriously they want, but you got a veteran team that's looking to get their game in order, quote-unquote game in order, and they're not being as physical or as desperate, I think, as putting your body in harm's way where you would risk injury, which is the most important thing. I mean, less important than who you play is how you're playing and how healthy you are going into the games that matter this week.
Well, then that almost makes it sound like that the Bruins are playing a different kind of hockey and they're better than everyone else because other teams need to fine-tune their game, but the Bruins don't need to because
but if you've watched
what, you have to just beat anybody. Like,
these round-robin games have all been a little bit different from the games that count. I don't know if you've watched a ton of them.
I've watched some of the games that count. Yeah, sure.
Those ones have been pretty good.
I don't notice a discernible uptick in effort or precision from some of the other teams. It just looks like the Bruins are still kind of in traction, like they don't have their act together yet.
I do have to admit, as much as I like hockey and I'm enjoying the bubble sports, the NBA too, none of it is the same, right? I mean, we can all admit that. It's all missing a little bit of something. I mean, I think when the Bruins and Celtics get into the playoffs, the fan base is, we think the ratings will be higher than a normal year or at least equal to a normal playoff run.
All of them will be higher. The baseball has been doing better numbers.
I
bet the Sox are probably doing pretty well. I bet you the Red Sox are actually doing pretty good. Well, no. I'll tell you what. They play more games like they did last night. If they can pick up a couple dubs and get back to 500 or maybe even over top, yeah. Maybe some people will start listening to the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network or tuning into the Sox games. I think basketball, of the four, that was the one I was most critical of at first. I thought their restart, the restart was fine, but I thought the broadcast left a little something to be desired. I think they're really pulling together a quality product. The game looks great.
It does.
And now that you've got only really good teams, that it's basically playoff style, plus I said that Western Conference play-in, there's so many fun teams to watch. Like right now, here we're doing the show. I'm not sure what's on in the studio, but I have Clips Portland on just for a little sporting ambience on my YouTube TV. I would sign up to watch these two teams, or I would watch Denver versus Utah any day of the week before I ever watch, like, you know, Nets Sixers or like Heat Pacers. It's almost like two different, completely different games.
Well, real quick on the Celtics, I am not a Celtics guru by any means. They looked so
green teamer.
Yeah, well, they looked terrible against Miami. Obviously, they looked great last night. So the truth is somewhere in the middle, or is it matchup dependent? I mean, what, like, do you come off last night thinking they're a legit contender again, or not really?
No, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. Sometimes these smaller teams, which the Celtics should be able to play to, give them a fit, and obviously sometimes the bigger teams do too. They're a little too inconsistent for their own good. But the big difference that I've noticed over the past couple nights, Ken, they started getting some meaningful minutes out of Robert Williams. And Keith and I were talking about that this week. If Time Lord who's got easily one of the top 10 nicknames in all of basketball, if not Boston sports history. If Time Lord can give you 16, 18 minutes, 9 points, you know, a block shot and 5 rebounds every night, finally giving you just the semblance of a big man in the middle so as to not allow teams like Milwaukee to just run roughshod all over you in the paint, that's a huge difference because you know Marcus Smart is going to give you maximum effort. I'm with Fourier on this one. Integral player to the Celtics' efforts to win a title, let alone on defense every given night. And Jaylen Brown, there's a nice little piece on EEI.com right now about Jaylen Brown could leave the bubble a superstar. I mean, he's already a pretty well-regarded player, but he has the most tools of any player on that roster. I don't think there's anything this kid can't do when he reaches the maximum of his capabilities.
Well, good news for the Celtics, if they play the Sixers, Ben Simmons is left the bubble. He's undergoing knee surgery. Woj reports that it would take a deep run to keep the door open for him a chance to even come back. So the Sixers are now preparing to play without Ben Simmons, which would be, I don't know if it would be a sweep in round one, but it could be.
You think there Celtics could be a Ewing theory to Simmons? Now, if Ben Simmons leaves and all of a sudden now Embiid and Horford and company like turn it on and the Sixers become a world beater?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Well, so now, but they're not locked into the six, right? It's the Pacers and the Sixers. Who knows how they're going to finish? So, I don't know if the Celtics can manipulate that somehow so they deliberately play Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But that would seem to be to their advantage. Over to the Bruins. My expert opinion, which again has one like on Twitter, is that they're better off losing again tomorrow to play Carolina than they are winning to advance to play the Islanders. So you would then have, if that happens, and by the way, Cassidy says that Rask's going to play the whole game. They're playing to win. Basically, mm-hmm. tomorrow they're playing all their main guys, which I think is a little bit questionable. I would pull guys after a period. He hasn't been very happy about this, has he? I don't know. He's defended them a little bit. He actually today said that they're fine. Here's his quote. Our guys are not in a bad place. They're really not. We have a veteran group that knows what's at stake. So they're switching the lineup a little bit. I'm sure they do want to get the second and third lines going to some mm-hmm. extent. They should beat whoever they play in round one, Carolina or the Islanders. If they don't, it'll be a failed season. But Carolina, they swept last year.
Yeah.
They got to be in their heads a little bit. You play them after they've been idle since Tuesday. They're a one-line team. You pretty much shut down their top line last year. I just like it. I don't think their goaltending's that scary. Peter Mrazek and James Reimer, who won the clincher for them. They got Jake Gardner on defense, so they can exploit him as they have when he was in Toronto. They have a couple guys that, I mean, Justin Williams is a scary name, but he's 38. Unless you go to a game 7, I guess you would fear him. I think Carolina would be ripe for the beating in five games again, same as last year.
Okay, forget the easy ask, is Tuca, didn't mean to make that rhyme, but like, is Tuca your biggest concern? Give me your two biggest concerns outside of Tuca going into the actual playoffs that count for the Bruins.
Well, the biggest concern
is it the first line?
Yes,
is it a
yes,
lack of depth?
Yes, okay. It's always the first line. And in particular, they're not playing very well. And part of that could be Greg Hill's fault, based on his association with Pastrnak, which Bergeron mentioned. By the way, we missed 2 weeks of practice because Pastrnak wasn't there. So they're a little rusty. So in that sense, that's a concern. Yes, the power play hasn't been great. That's a secondary concern. And other than the fourth line, you can't really say any other lines are going very well. So it's all a concern.
Correct.
Based on what we've seen, but again, I just think it's going to be a different story when that series starts on Tuesday, and they'll handle either of these teams, either of them.
There was a little bit of a jarring stat that I read. It's from your old pal, Tucker Boynton, my stat guy over at Barstool. It was about the Bruins. I'm going to find it for you, Ken, but about how poorly the Bruins' first line has played over the last from last season into this season, over their last seven playoff games, like they have.
But
done
St. Louis is an excellent defensive team, and that's not Carolina. Now the Islanders will give you trouble.
Oh, here it is. When playing together, the Bruins' first line has been outscored 7-0 in its last 25 periods of 5-5 playoff hockey.
Yeah, I mean, so it's easy to manipulate that by throwing the Cup final in. I'm not worried about those guys in series against Carolina. Maybe a little bit the Islanders. They haven't played the Islanders in a playoff series since 1983.
Right. Well, back in the Mike Bossy days.
Totally. I mean, that was the last year the Islanders won the Cup, the fourth of four. Like Barry Peterson was running wild. I mean, that is a kind of a kind of an odd series. I don't know teams that don't know each other terribly well. Islanders went bizarre at the trade deadline. They got J.G. Pajot in for three picks, including a first. So they scare me a bit.
Not the enough Islanders that I would scare you.
Yes,
a bit.
Yes. Not enough How that I can... think I would pick them to win the series, but. But they're good. They're deep.
How crushing a blow do you think it would be to both their fans and the program if the Bruins were to get bumped in the first round?
Pretty crushing.
Would that be the time to come in and like sweep it out and maybe trade some of the vets and maybe Chara's Dunsky?
I think. I mean, Chara's not looked good. That's another obvious sign here. The first couple of games, maybe he can get it back. But yeah, I mean, you're getting to the end of the line with these guys, and you would if you go out in round one, that is a tough pill to swallow for sure.
For sure.
All right, we got your buddy Wayne on, talking Pats, your podcast partner. We got a lot of Pats to reset. Bradford is in for the extended crossover. That's coming up at 3:30. College football news has been terrible. We'll update you on that. And the leaders of the PGA Championship are off, so we'll reset the scoreboard. All that part of hour three of Laird and Fitzy here on Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.